Instead, what the president is telling us now is we have to shut down our government if he doesn't get $5 billion for a wasteful, ineffective border wall. We need modern drug technology to stop the drug cartels from importing the poison that's killing our kids, not a medieval solution like a wall from sea to shining sea.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Senator Durbin joins us. Merry Christmas to you.
Hi, Steve. How you been?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Well, I hope you have a great Christmas. I'm not sure we'll be connecting before then, so let me get that on the table. And also, I was curious to ask you about President Bush. Is there anything you haven't been able to say about him and remembering him?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a great ceremony, a real tribute to him. I always think, Steve, you know, we should remember that he got his training as a Navy pilot at Navy Pier.
Yep.
They used to have a training facility out there, and that's where this 19, 20-year-old volunteer showed up to be the youngest, to learn how to be the youngest aviator, one of the youngest in World War II. And there's a great book called Flyboys, which I recommend to your listeners if they're interested, by a fellow named Bradley, that tells the story of his mission when it, where he was shot down.
Right.
It was a suicide mission. They were flying right into the enemy's guns and eventually caught up with him. But I left reading that book with nothing but the highest respect. We could have disagreed on a couple political issues, but what a great man.
And incredible that there's footage of him being rescued.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
To think that he bobbed around out there in the ocean for 4 hours and somebody had the presence of mind to pull out an old camera and to take footage of that. That's an amazing piece of film.
Yeah. All right, before we get to the shutdown and Trump and the horrible Saudi story that continues, the Farm Bill, reality now?
Yes. Finally, with an overwhelming bipartisan vote, good bill. It doesn't address the real concern farmers tell me, and that's the tariffs. They're wondering when they're going to end and what impact they're going to have on our reputation as traders in the world. These farmers have worked for generations to not only grow the best corn and soybeans and everything else, but to be reliable traders. And now a tariff war has that in doubt. They want to see that come to an end soon. But the bill passing is a helping hand.
The government shutdown is always something that sounds selfish, and it hurts people. It's going to hurt the Secret Service, for that matter. And people, even for a few days, that have to go away without a paycheck retroactively. Maybe they get caught up, but it's a big deal to take people on government salaries and take their money away during the holiday season. Going to happen or not?
I'm afraid the president said it will happen. It's totally unnecessary. And you made a good reference. Think when you go through the airports about the men and women who are searching through our luggage and
right.
searching
us safe.
To make sure people don't have guns and bombs on them. They're going to still have to show up for work, even with a government shutdown, but without pay. And they'll be delayed in their pay. They'll eventually get it. We all know that. But here they are going to a holiday season with uncertainty about when they get their paycheck. This is totally unnecessary. And I hope the president reconsiders it. This $5 billion wall is not the best way to keep our borders secure. When I asked the experts, including in his own administration, they never mention a wall. They mention technology and personnel. I'm willing to put the money on the table for that, and I think both parties will.
Here's the thing. $18 billion was the original ask. Oh, by the way, Mexico's not paying for it. $18 billion was the original ask over 10 years. I did the math on this, Senator. I think you and I talked about this at one point, and I'm not kidding. We ran the numbers on this. That's $1.8 billion a year. You could literally hire a border agent and station them every 300 yards for all 900 miles. It'd be the greatest job fair ever, and you have had human beings in place of the wall, which would be a more effective way to do it if, in fact, you were going to spend the money.
Of course. This is a campaign promise. The president created this image of this wall from sea to shining sea and told us Mexico would pay for it. And it was really a symbol of his getting tough at the border. But it isn't a practical way to keep us safe. Let me give you an example. We have all these drugs, primarily fentanyl, coming across that border and through many other ways into the United States, killing almost 30,000 people last year from a fentanyl overdose. And we know that they're coming in through cars and trucks primarily. Currently, we are only screening and scanning 1 out of 5 of these cars and trucks. We can do better. And when I asked the people this week from the agencies, how much would it cost to put these scanners so that every car and truck is scanned for illegal people, our contraband, our guns, our drugs, and they said $300 million. And I said, that is a far cry from $5 billion. Let's do it. And you'll get strong bipartisan support to do it. So I wish we'd take that approach, which is more practical and more effective.
Donald Trump tweeted seconds ago, obviously listening to the interview. That was a little earlier this morning. Tweeted, I often stated one way or another, Mexico is going to pay for the wall. This has never changed. Our new deal with Mexico and Canada is so much better than the old costly anti-USA NAFTA deal that just by that money we saved, Mexico is paying for the wall. Is that true?
Well, I can tell you this. I voted for NAFTA, took some grief for it. It wasn't perfect, and I was happy to see an effort to redraft it, renegotiate it. It was 25 years long overdue, and I thought it was the right thing to do. But it has nothing to do with paying for a wall. The president is trying to put these two things together. Maybe they're together in his mind, but the Mexicans have just said flat out, we aren't paying for your crazy wall. And I can understand that. They will cooperate with us, though, when it comes to the drug interdiction that I've talked about, and when it comes to holding those who are trying to cross into our border and in a safe situation, even offering them jobs. The Mexican government said, if you're one of these immigrants coming to the U.S. border, we'll give you jobs in certain parts of our country if that's what you're looking for. So there are ways they can help us, but the wall is not the way to do it.
Senator Durbin, the Washington Post said in an op-ed about negotiations and the Democrats' stance on this, on border security. You're for border security. You're not for the wall. But why not negotiate and go to Trump, who's known to be a deal maker, and say, okay, if you want a wall, then we want a path to citizenship for Dreamers, other issues that are important to the Democratic
Party. We had that deal, right?
Well, we did. We offered it to the president, and I did too. As crazy as I thought the wall was, under certain conditions, I signed up for it. If we took care of DACA, Dreamers, and several other parts of the immigration plan, it was a bipartisan offer to the president, and he rejected it in February. He could have had it. I mean, and this was before this last election. And now he's in a predicament with the Democrats soon to take over in the House. They're not going to vote for his wall. If he wants to sit down and talk about immigration reform, I'm there in a split second. At the current time, though, there's no reason for us to shut down this government and to create all the problems that come with it.
Pat Brady's here. You got a question for the senator?
Hey, Senator.
Yep, let me get your mic on. There you go.
Hey, Senator, how you doing?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Great. Hey, please tell me we're going to get tough on the Saudis.
I think we are. You know, I was part of a dozen members of the Senate, Democrats, Republicans, 2 weeks ago, brought in with the head of the CIA and two of the top analysts, the smartest people in Washington when it comes to the Saudi kingdom. We were in that briefing, and all the leadership was there, McConnell, Schumer, and the rest. We were in there no more than 10 minutes till we all looked at one another and said, well, of course the crown prince knew about this. I mean, he had the highest levels of his own personal security guard who were involved in this escapade, and there's evidence of communications back and forth that could never have escaped his attention. I think he designed it, approved it, and was told afterwards when it was done. And take it from Lindsey Graham. There may not have been a smoking gun, but there was a smoking saw at the end of this story. The net result of it is an overwhelming vote yesterday against the U.S. supporting Saudi involvement in the Yemen war. And I think we're raising serious questions, long overdue, about our relationship with the Saudi kingdom.
So is this possibly the crack in the wall, not the one Trump wants, but the wall that's been around Donald Trump protecting him in some way? Because after the Cohen deal and the sentence yesterday and everything that could be in the Mueller report, we have a constitutional crisis we're living in right now. It's just a matter of timing when it fully comes to fruition. Is there any sense that the Republicans in the Senate feel the same way? Because I'll be honest with you, Senator, and I think you'd agree with this statement. I don't care if the president's Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Martian. They need to not be a criminal.
Well, of course, and everyone needs to be held accountable. No one is above the law. It's an old cliche, but it gets right down to the truth of the rule of law. Two or three of the most outspoken Republican critics are retiring. We're only days away from Jeff Flake being gone, Bob Corker being gone, and, of course, with John McCain's absence, which is a real loss to us in terms of an independent maverick voice who would one day jump all over the Democrats, the next day jump all over the Republicans. We're missing that, and I think you have to be honest. As you look at the developments with Michael Cohen, this Mueller investigation is moving forward at a pretty fast pace now. Some 33 to 35 indictments, 7 people who have pled guilty, another 1 or 2 been found guilty at trial. What we can do and should do is to step aside and let him complete this investigation without any political pressure, and then let his report become public so the American people can reach their own judgment. I trust Mueller. He's a Republican. He was a U.S. attorney. He was also a Marine Corps veteran in Vietnam, headed the FBI for 10 years, strong bipartisan vote to extend his term at the FBI. This man, I think, is a good, reputable, professional prosecutor. I'll stand by his findings, whatever they are.
Just based on feel, do you think that Donald Trump finishes a first term?
Hard to say, Steve. It really is.
Just the fact that it's hard to say, right? I mean, the fact that you can't say it's not guaranteed.
The Constitution has a process here, and it is a high bar. It's 67 votes in the Senate for impeachment. And what I've said to my Democratic friends is, let's get on to the business of governing this country, passing legislation that helps people. Let's not get mad or get even. Let's get the job done, and let's let the Mueller investigation be completed in due time and decide what the next step may be. This administration needs to be held accountable for its management of the government and its expenditure of tax dollars, but we shouldn't wake up every morning focused on that bright, shiny object called impeachment. That may or may not be in our future. Let's get our job done now.
Yeah, well, impeachment, as Pat Brady said a million times, impeachment's very bad for the country, but at some point the lines cross between the guy in the White House is worse for the country than impeaching him and removing him from the White House, and we're not there yet.
We'll see what happens. Remember, the organization Move On was created and named because the American people during the Clinton impeachment said, would you please move on, Congress, and get on with the business of this country? That is the overwhelming sentiment until it reaches a point there is no choice.
On a much happier note, I hope you have a great Christmas. Will you be here or there?
I'm going to be in Chicago with our son and new daughter-in-law.
Excellent.
With a baby on the way, a new grandbaby on the way, and we're looking forward to it over at Old St. Pat's for the Midnight Mass. It'll be the 5 o'clock version of Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve, so I'm looking forward to Christmas in Chicago.
And give your son and your daughter-in-law all the best. She's a great lady.
Will do.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
See you
later. Bye, Pat.
See you.